reading for today is from Acts 2, verses 1 through 13. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in their native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They have had too much wine." Here ends the reading.
Let us pray. Father, open our hearts and minds now to the movings of your Holy Spirit, even as we explore his work on that day of Pentecost, that day that the church age begins, that the gathered people of God begin to take root. And so, Father, we ask that you would be with us now in Jesus' name. Amen. Be seated. Good morning, everybody. How many of you know, to a certain degree at least, a different language? Maybe you know just a few phrases. Raise your hand if you know at least just a few phrases, okay? Very good, very good. Okay. I want you to think of a phrase in that different language that you know, okay? And while you're thinking of that phrase, I want you to, it must be Skit Guys Day because I'm also using a Skit Guys video. I didn't know they were using a Skit Guys video. I wrote this sermon in LA Airport, LAX, and so I didn't know, but that's okay. We like them a lot. And so we're going to watch a Skit Guys video on Pentecost, and then we're going to come back to your little language thing, okay? Here we go.
Hey, Tommy and Eddie, the Skit Guys here, and we want to talk to you about a very special event in church history.
That's right. Pentecost. It's the celebration when the Holy Spirit came down from heaven to dwell within us, the church.
It's also one of my favorite moments in church history.
Oh, yeah? Why is that?
Oh, because it had to be insane, right? I mean, the Holy Spirit shows up, everybody starts speaking in tongues. I mean, that had to be crazy.
Wait, just so we're on the same page. You're saying tongues, right?
Tongues.
Tongues?
Right, tongues.
Tongues.
We're totally saying the same thing.
Acts chapter 2 describes this scene. Can you imagine what it must have been like to be there?
Okay, can I get everyone to quiet down, please? Shh, please quiet. Can I get people...
What? No, don't.
Shh. Order in the court!
Whoa, hey, Bull Shannon, this isn't night court. Just talk normal like one of the disciples.
Okay, time out. Okay, hey, do you mind not interrupting my process, okay? Sometimes I like to free flow linguistically, okay? And what you're doing is, you're clamping that, and like a clampy thing, you know, the clamp.
Question.
Yeah.
Is this you right now free flowing linguistically? Because I want to make sure I'm aware of it and I see it when you do it. Is this your process? Because I want to be there for you when you do that. Is this it? All right, it's been a few weeks since Jesus ascended, and this is a situation.
Yeah, we've been reading some of your suggestions on what to call ourselves, and look, to be honest with you, some of them are worse than Bartholomew's beard.
He's right. Bart, I love you, but your beard looks like Sasquatch got interrupted halfway through a face wax.
Okay, somebody suggested we call ourselves Jesus and Friends. Maybe it's just me. That sounds a little cultish.
A little bit. Do you hear that?
Yes.
Sounds like there's an ice cream truck outside.
Time out. Sounds like an ice cream truck, he says. I'll take idiotic statements for 200, Alex.
The verse says they heard a sound from heaven. Can you name something more heavenly sounding than an ice cream truck?
You know what I like about you, buddy? You live every day like it's Shark Week, don't you?
Would you just go with me? Look, would you just be the Tinkerbell to my Peter Pan?
Hey, I am nobody's Tinkerbell. Got me?
Somebody's got Neverland baggage. Did you hear that? It sounds like a strong wind. Or an ice cream truck.
All right, everyone, just relax. Calm down. We're going to go check this out. See? No ice cream truck.
Yep.
Just a flaming tongues descending from heaven.
So, no ice cream truck. Sorry, Andrew, no dreamsicles today.
Hey, is it just me? Or is everybody speaking in different languages?
Right? Het is all het Leidersvensal von Christus in here. Marsander and Tinderling.
Mm. Oh, Dios mio. Por qué son arreglado? Por qué me son conquisto? Por qué me son conquisto?
Delfes tenga que ver con el camión de helados?
Je suis tellement confus.
It's been assez verwirrt und hungrig.
Aber meistens verwirrt.
Must have been confusing after the Spirit came down, but only until God's word came through.
You know, God spoke to everyone that day through his Spirit. Didn't matter what language they spoke or who was speaking.
Isn't that a beautiful thing? God loves us so much that he goes to supernatural lengths to make sure we know his word. And that's what Pentecost is all about.
It's also about learning how to speak with tongues. I find if you hold them lightly, more than...
I knew we weren't saying the same thing.
Speaking of speaking with tongues... Does everybody have their phrase? Turn and say it to your neighbor. You got 20 seconds. Go. Say it loudly. Okay, so we've got all these languages happening. I'm just curious. So let's take a quick survey. What kind of languages do we got going on here? Anybody just go ahead and yell out the phrase they said. Don't tell me the language. Say the phrase. Okay. One at a time. Okay. Spanish? What are you saying? I cannot stop eating. Which goes with the phrase that I know in Spanish, ¿Dónde está el baño? Where is the bathroom? All right. Good. What else do we have? He raised his hand. Okay. Spanish again. ¿Cómo estás? Do we have a different language other than Spanish? Yes. What? Say it again. Norse. First Norse we had there. We have a Viking maiden back there. Okay. Excellent. What else do we have? Figates. Okay. Which is what? Deutschland. Right. German. Yes. What is that? What language? German. Okay. All right. Yes. In what language? Ukrainian. Wow. Okay, yeah. Okay, language? Latin. Christos Aniste. Alethos Aniste, right? Which is? Greek. Very good, very good. So we have all these languages. I remember at Fuller one time we did something called a Korean prayer choir. We were in charge of organizing worship on campus. Now, this is in Pasadena, so as a white person, you're in the minority there. Fuller, I had 80 different nations represented in my graduating class. That's how many different languages that you would hear spoke out there on campus. And they wanted to do Korean prayer choir. I said, well, what's that? So that's what everybody prays for 1 minute in their own native language. Now, if I said, let's do that here, it'd be pretty boring because we'd all be speaking the same language pretty much. But out there, it was awesome. It was stunning. You would think that it would sound chaotic, but it was beautiful. It was a beautiful thing. All these different Asian dialects and Spanish, and we had people from Norway, and it was beautiful, beautiful thing. It was a beautiful thing. So the interesting thing about Pentecost is what I want to do is talk about it from the bird's eye view today, the big picture. We're not going to get caught up in the tongues of fire and the speaking of tongues stuff. That's for another day, okay? I want us to see the big picture when we talk about Pentecost today. Pentecost is very closely tied to another story in Scripture. It's tied to a story from the book of Genesis. Some of you may recognize the story, the Tower of Babel, because both involve God using language for his purposes, right? So, read the text with me. So the Lord scattered them from there all over the earth, and they stopped building the city. Stop. Okay, so they're building this city, right? And it's not just the city. They're building this massive juggernaut, this massive tower. And it's not just that they're building a tower. They're doing it as a form of self-worship so that we would make a name for ourselves, it says in the Scriptures, so that we might not be scattered about the earth. They saw this as their own expression of godhood. It's funny how we keep going back to Genesis 3 and making the same mistake, isn't it? God says, don't eat of this tree, and the devil says, the serpent says, if you eat of this fruit, to Adam and Eve, you too shall be like. Martin Luther said that all sins, all other sins involved with the Ten Commandments are all rooted back to the first one, you shall have no other gods before me. In other words, anytime we sin, it's just a manifestation, it's just a symptom of our own need to be God. And what is going on here is that these people are building this tower. They are of one language. They are of one tribe, in essence. And God says, this is not good, because together, combined, when you have, you know, when we do combined efforts for things and it's for a good thing, it's amazing what we can accomplish, right? But we also are quite capable of going in the opposite direction, aren't we? Unity is not always a good thing when it's devoted to a bad thing. And God says, I have to stop this. And so we read verse 9. That is why it was called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of the whole world. He scatters them, and he does this with language. And so what we see between the two stories is God uses diverse languages at Babel in order to push humanity apart, in order that he might dilute and neutralize human sin. But at Pentecost, the great reversal happens. The great reversal. Pentecost is the great reversal of Babel, right? Because at Pentecost, God uses diverse languages in order to bring humanity back together, to energize and spread divine grace, to bring people back together with the good news of the gospel in Jesus Christ. Because what would Paul later write? There's neither Greek nor Jew, male nor female. Nothing. There are no divisions under Christ. And so he takes these diverse languages now, and he brings people back together. It's a great reversal of Babel. And here's the text. Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd. Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people aren't drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. Read with me. Are we in the last days then? Because if it was then, if that was the last days, we're still in it, right? I know it's been 2,000 years. It's been a lot of last days, right? But keep in mind, time is not the same for God. We are in the last days. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on who people? How about just rich people? How about just men? How about just pastors? How about just Lutherans? How about just I won't even get into politics. Okay. And I'm not even going to get into football fans. Okay. On all people, on everybody, that his spirit is open and available to any heart that desires it, that the boundaries that once existed no longer exist, that for Jew and Gentile alike, and by the way, we're all Gentiles, the grace of God is now thrown wide open. I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy with me. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Stop there. You don't get to retire from this, folks. Okay? We might retire from a career, but every one of us is called, and you don't retire from a calling. Now, the giftedness and presence of the Spirit in your life, it can change as your seasons change. What God calls you to do specifically can change, but you don't get to retire from this. You will serve the Lord until your dying breath. I love the way Pastor Bob put it when he stopped being senior pastor here. He said, I'm not retiring, I'm refiring. Right. Right. I know that I will be doing some form of ministry till the day I die. Might not be this, might be something else, who knows? That's up to God, right? He's the one that pours out his spirit. We are the vessels. We are the vessels. So, if you're old and think you're useless, I got news for you. You're not. God has something for you. Seek, and you'll find. Even on my servants, both men and women, I'll pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. They will prophesy. And so people now are benefiting. They're benefiting from God using language now in this new way. I remember when I worked at the Ponderosa Ranch where they, who's seen the TV show Bonanza? Anybody? Anybody here been to the Ponderosa Ranch before it closed? Were you? Wow, I was probably your bartender. And now half the people in here freaked out that their pastor was a bartender. Your grandson did? Yeah. Oh, your son. Really? Isn't that interesting? Me too. So, you know, one of the interesting things about that, this is in Lake Tahoe, Nevada, and this is where they filmed the TV show Bonanza. And it's a beautiful spot. And what you may not know is that about one-third of the tourists there every year were from German-speaking countries. Because when they take a vacation, man, they do it upright. They go like 6 weeks, and they go and they tour like the whole West Coast of the United States. And so they would come in there. Now, here's what was cool, right? Who was the only employee on the ranch that knew German? Right? So they'd belly up to the bar, right? And I would hear them speaking German. And I'd be like, aha, aha. So I'd walk up to them, ah, guten Tag. Was ist Ihr Name? Woher in Deutschland kommen Sie? And they're like, oh, sprechen Sie Deutsch. They were all excited. And so I would have these conversations with them, you know. Oh, wo gelernt ihr in Deutsch? Oh, in Schule. And, you know, I'd talk to them about all this stuff and until I ran out of German to say. You know, and then I'd all of a sudden get busy and say, I have to go change the kegs or something like that, right? But they loved it. Man, I got tipped big time by the Germans. Why? Because somebody spoke their language. Even just the little bit that I knew, they immediately felt a bond with me, didn't they? Yeah. God uses language at Babel
to dilute our sin by pushing us apart, but he bonds us back together under the gospel at Pentecost. He bonds us. And it's an awesome thing. Now, one other thing I want to say about this, we're going to have time of healing today, so I need to close fairly quickly here, is we also need to look at the big picture in this sense. Romans chapter 8, 28. Chapter 8, verse 28. A lot of you probably know this verse, but in case you don't, let's put it up there. Okay? Read it with me. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purposes. Heard this verse before? Very comforting verse, right? For all of us personally feel very comforted by that, but this works also at much larger levels, much bigger levels, okay? And this is related to Pentecost. God doesn't want to just erase the pain in our lives. He wants to use it. See, that's what we want. We want heaven to be just like erasing all the pain in our lives. But God is actually going to transform it into something beautiful. When Jesus was resurrected, did he still have the scars? His resurrection body still bore the scars, didn't it? Yeah. And this is what he wants to do with the people Israel. Okay? Let's back up from Pentecost about 800 years, give or take 100 years. The people of Israel are no longer living in covenant with God. They have taken for granted their relationship with him. He wants them to live in justice, to do mercy, to walk humbly with them. But they have gotten caught up in their prosperity, and they're beginning to think that it's all about them. And the best case scenario, what they're doing is they're just trying to buy off God with these elaborate displays of worship. That's what Amos is talking about. And God sends to his people prophets who call the people back into relationship with God. Return to your first love. Walk in covenant with the one who saved you, the one who cares for you. Don't abandon him, because if you do, bad things are going to happen. And it usually took about a generation, 40 to 70 years, for the prophets' predictions to come true, and they did. Did the people turn? No, they didn't. And the people who were once free because God was their king now became vassals and slaves of other empires. Israel and Judah, broken in two now, would be conquered by empires, the Assyrians, the Persians, the Babylonians. Later, the Greeks would absorb them, and then from the Greeks, the Romans. For hundreds of years as a people, they were slaves, ripped from their homes, ripped apart in their families, sent to live in places all across the empires. They were scattered. The word for it is the diaspora. They were dispersed across these vast empires. And it was a hurtful and horrible and awful thing. Imagine this happened to you or us. Imagine if America was conquered and you were ripped from your father, your mother, your brothers, and your sisters, and you were sent to live in Afghanistan or China or the tip of Africa or something like that. This is what happened to them. And a people who found their identity in the temple lost their identity because the temple was rubble. But they maintained it through one thing, the word, the book. They were broken. They thought it was the end, but what they didn't know is just the beginning, because these people were scattered like seed. And as they lived in these various places of the world, one day they would all come back during the festival called Pentecost. You see, Pentecost was like an agricultural Olympics. It was a festival held every year. And people would come from all across the Roman Empire. And with them, they would bring their native tongues that they had developed over all those years, speaking these diverse languages. And then God used language to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. And they took this back to where they lived. And within the span of 6 months, the gospel spread across the entire Roman Empire. That's what I call sovereignty. That's God working. He took the brokenness of a people and he turned it into the salvation for the world. The Japanese have this amazing thing they do with pottery. It's called kintsukuri. It's beautiful. And what they do is they take broken vessels, pottery, and when they repair them, and they, instead of using normal materials, they use gold so that the scars of the brokenness still show, but it's filled with this precious, precious thing. You're broken, aren't you? And there's only one thing to heal, the most precious person of God himself, the Holy Spirit. You have to let the Spirit heal you. And when you let the Spirit heal you, he's not going to erase your scars. He's going to include them, and he's going to transform them into a more beautiful version of you. They will become part of what makes you. And in your brokenness, you will then become available to the gifts of the Spirit to share your brokenness and your beauty in Christ. Amen? Let's pray. Father, as we prepare now for this time of communion and healing, my prayer is that all of us would be open to the fact that Pentecost was not just the beginning of the church age. Pentecost was the beginning of the release of the Holy Spirit into the world on all people. It was the beginning of healing. The healing of all people and all things. Let it begin today in our hearts. My prayer is that we would not resist this opportunity to be made more beautiful even in our brokenness. In Jesus' name, amen.